Thank you very much. So probably I'm going to be as surprised as you are by what's going to happen, because I do talks about juggling a lot. Usually they're to 14 or 15 year old kids, occasionally they're to their parents, sometimes they're to whole school groups. And the usual thing is that you normally have a microcentury, which is about 51 minutes. So you normally have that length of time. Now I've only got 30 minutes. In fact, I'm going to desperately try and make sure that I fit inside, well inside that 30 minutes. So as a result, I'm not actually certain what I'm going to tell you, right? There are two companies listed here. Solipsis Limited is my own company. I describe myself as a full-time freelance torturer of adults and confuser of children. I talk about how math turns up when you least expect it. And this is one of the examples of that. Because some friends of mine, I do have friends, they're not all imaginary. Actually, I thought about, I would also mention I do stuff with ships and radar and monitoring, and two good things I can announce about this. First good thing I can announce about it is nobody died in this accident, but I do use maths to try and help stop people from dying, which is kind of cool. The second good thing about this was not my fault. It wasn't our kit watching it at the time. So anyway, let me talk about juggling. A lot of people, when they find out that I juggle, they say, some people say, I can't even do one. You will find out shortly that everybody can do one. If you've got two hands, everybody can do the standard pattern with one. In fact, even if you've only got one hand, you can do the one hand standard pattern with one. It's not that difficult. A lot of people say they can do two, and invariably they mean this. And if somebody does this, that's perfectly valid, perfectly reasonable way of juggling too, but I will guarantee you something. If you go away and do this, I guarantee that you will do the throwing with your good hand, not the catching. Now, most people don't notice that. To be brutally honest, nobody cares. But I noticed. I thought, why should you do the throwing with your good hand? It's obvious if you don't catch the juggling ball, then the juggling doesn't last for very long. Catching is obviously important. So common sense says that you would use your good hand to make that easier. But you don't. You use your good hand to do the throw. And here, in plain sight, is the only secret of juggling. It's not the catch. People say, I'm hopeless at catching, I've got no coordination. I don't care. The thing that matters is the throw. If the throw is perfect, the catch takes care of itself. And you don't have to trust me. You don't have to believe me. You can go away, you can practice doing two like this, not a problem. Then make sure nobody's watching. Don't do this in front of other people. Try throwing with your not so good hand, and you will find that that feels completely impossible. After a while, you can do it, if you practice. And then you can still do it the other way around, because that doesn't, like, get broken. So now you can do it that way around, and you can do it this way around. So you can do it that way around, and you can do it this way around, and you can do it this way, and 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 this way. And if you can do that, you're moments away from juggling three, but not the way people expect, because people expect you're going to do them in that cyclic pattern, but you don't. Pick up three balls. You'll find, unless you're exceptionally gifted, you cannot hold one in each hand. So what you do is you throw away one of them, switch off gravity so it stays up there, and stand there with one in each hand waiting for that one to come down. Now it will come down, gravity works. They even leave it switched on at weekends. So as that one comes down, so I've got the green ball over here. Pretend the green ball's over here. What's over here? Green. Oh, good, excellent. I normally have to cajole the audience into doing that sort of thing. What's over here? Green. I want you to pretend the yellow ball's up there. Now that's really easy at the moment because the yellow ball is actually up there. What's over here? Green. So the yellow ball's coming down, the orange ball's here. Yellow ball's coming down, orange ball's here. Yellow ball's coming down. Green. Yellow ball's coming. What do I do with the orange ball? Throw it. Right. Recently somebody said throw it away. You can do that. You have to run after it. It leads to a sport called joggling. But you're not going to do that. So as this comes down, you throw this one. You don't throw it away. You don't throw it across because what's over there? Green. So you throw it straight up because then it will be easy to catch. And if it's easy to catch, you'll be able to catch it. Easily. Oh, look, green. Throw the next one straight up so it's easy to catch. If it's easy to catch, you can catch it easily. Throw the next one straight up so it's easy to catch. If it's easy to catch, you can catch it easily. Throw the next one straight up so it's easy to catch. If it's easy to catch, you can catch it easily. Throw the next one straight up so it's easy to catch. If it's easy to catch, you can catch it easily. And always do that. Always throw straight up so it's easy to catch. If it's easy to catch. After a while, this gets really boring. So you bring it down and widen it out. And this gives you the classic pattern for three-ball juggling. We call it a cascade. The Germans call it a cascada. The French call it something else. I can't remember. A huit de balle, an eight of balls. Because if you take a figure of eight and lay it down on its side, that's the shape that you get, one of the symbols we use for infinity. And it doesn't look like a circle. If you pick one of the balls and watch it closely, I like the yellow one. If you watch the yellow ball close, sorry, some of you missed it. There it is again. Watch the yellow ball. You'll see it goes up in the middle, down the outside, up in the middle, down the outside, up in the middle, down the outside, up. Now, unless, of course, it goes up in the outside, down the middle, up in the outside, down the middle. We'll come back to that later. Of course, it might not do anything. We'll come back to that. So the thing is, this is the easy way of juggling three balls. I make it look easy because I have been doing this a very, very long time. People do ask, when did you learn? I don't remember. I was 14. I was at a family gathering. One of my uncles could juggle. The more sensible question is not, when did you take up juggling? The more sensible question is, why? And in my case, I took it up at university because it seemed like the obvious thing to do after I'd learned to ride a unicycle. As you do. And I went along and I said, I can juggle three. I want to learn how to do five. And they said, can you do four? And I said, well, I've only got three. They said, gave me another one and said, now can you do four? And I said, no. I said, all right, here's how you do four. Now, what I'd like you all to do is to pick a color. This, by the way, will be much more interesting for you if you pick one of these colors. And they said, this is how you do four. Now, watch your chosen color and you will notice something interesting. They don't change hands. Now, there is a reason for that, and I'm going to come to it because that's where the mathematics comes into this. But anyway, I learned how to do four. I said, you're cheating. They're not crossing over. And they said, well, they can cross over. But they don't have to. You can just do two in each hand. And so I went away and I learned how to do that. And then they said, and we went back and I said, I want to learn how to do five. And they said, the way you learn five is you put one down. Even I know that's going in the wrong direction. But the thing is, when you juggle three like a beginner, you've got one in the air and one in each hand. If you look close to the top of this pattern, you will see there's only one ball at a time because you hang on to the balls as long as you can because the only time you can control them is when you hang on to them. If you want to juggle five, you need to let them go. And if you look close to the top of this pattern, you will see two balls passing each other at the top of the pattern. And that means my hands are empty for a lot of the time. And because my hands are empty for a lot of the time, I can squash up those three, stick another two in, and I go back to the balls crossing over again. Now, again, that comes back to the reasons, the mathematics underneath. So I went away and I started to learn to do that. Back when I learned how to do five, the only way that you would learn is you take five, chuck them in the air, fail, pick them up and try again. Literally for about 1,000 hours. Now after 20 minutes, I was hot, tired, frustrated and angry. And I looked around the room after one spectacularly unsuccessful attempt where I ended up with one in my hand, three at my feet and one against the wall at the far end of the room. And I still have no idea how it got there. Nobody else was doing five. People were doing things like this, yes, and this, yes, but they were also doing things like this, and this, and this, and this. And in tact, take one, throw it under the other arm, and if you do that on every throw, that looks really cool. Except I've just lied to you. That's not every throw. That's only every throw with this hand. What happens if I also do every throw with that hand? And not just for a while on this side and a while on this side. And not just with the yellow ball back and forth, but every throw. With every hand. Every hand? Both hand, right? And you end up with this. Which is just bonkers, but deserves a round of applause. That was shown to me by a lovely young lady called Alison. I wrote down what she was doing and ran away as fast as I could because she was clearly demented. And then a guy called Mike Day showed me this, which is called Mills Mass. Now, I'm not going to dwell on this for too long, but this is gorgeous. It took me 2.5 sheets of A4 to write down a description of a juggling trick that lasts for 1 second. So the question is, how can you write down a juggling trick? Now, we have a notation. By the way, this is my standard presentation, which means it's got 231 slides. I will show them to all of them to you, most of them very quickly. But the question is, how can you describe a juggling trick? No film, no video. We were doing this in the 80s before mobile phones were invented. But even now, if you want to learn a piece of music and all you have is a recording, it's really hard. You want to have it written down. If you want to learn a poem or a piece of prose, you want to have it written down. And so we looked through the juggling magazines that we had, and none of them had descriptions of juggling tricks, and it turns out that it's quite complicated. Now, in about 15 minutes from now, you are going to use this diagram to create a juggling trick that I will attempt. This is a diagram that encompasses three ball juggling tricks where the maximum timing of the throws is the same as with five ball juggling. Now, to do that, when we actually did this, we needed to simplify the problem. We wrote down a set of restrictions. If your hands are fixed, then that means the left hand and right hand can be on either side. If the timing is fixed, then you can have a fixed metronomic tick running down the diagram. If the hands alternate, that has all sorts of really interesting implications. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to have my hands not crossing over. I'm going to have a fixed background timing, and I'm going to have my hands taking it in turns. I can relax all of these restrictions in the Q&A, in the Q&A tent afterwards. You can ask me about this. I will tell you that is a threat. All right. But the thing is, we discovered that there is a way of drawing diagrams of juggling tricks that turns out to capture the essence of what's going on. And here, you've got the three balls changing hands, and they're interwoven. They are literally a braid. If you juggle three balls and walk backwards, the path being left in the air by the juggling balls literally forms a braid. There's a lot more that goes on underneath this as well. We can look at the timing of a single flight from throw and catch, and that timing is two beats. But I don't care, because that's the time from a throw to a catch. And we don't care about the catch. I told you, we only care about the throw. And if you look at the timing on this diagram from throw, it's three beats, which is the same as the number of balls being juggled. And here the mathematics starts to emerge. Because when I juggle three balls completely symmetrically with all of them doing the same thing, they are thrown in turn. There's three balls. Each ball must be thrown every third time. So the time from throw is three. Now, if the time from throw is four, if I'm juggling four balls, then I will throw with this hand, my hands alternate, this hand, then this hand, then this hand, then this hand, and then it's this hand's turn, four beats later. It's the same hand. Balls A, B, C, D, A, B, C, D, A, B, C, D, A, B. If the balls take it in turns when I juggle four, they must stay in the same hand. When I juggle five, A, B, C, D, E, A, B, C, D, E, A, B, C, D, E, they must change hands. So as a shorthand, jugglers refer to this kind of throw, going about this high, changing hands. We refer to that as a three. It's the kind of throw you do when juggling three balls. Now, we juggled four a little bit faster, but if I juggled it at the same speed, then you'd end up with four. And you can see that they come back to the same hand. So in isolation, we call that a four. And then if we juggle five in isolation, we call each of those... It was Penelope. She's always misbehaving. They do all have names. Ask if you dare. But they, again, they go about this high and they change hands. So what's a two? What does it mean to juggle two? Well, if they take it in hands, I'll throw the orange ball with this hand, and then I'll throw the green ball with this hand, and then I'll throw the orange ball with this hand again. And the simplest model is to pretend my hands are full for half the time. This is the standard pattern for two balls. I'm doing it quite slowly. If I do it at the same speed as I juggle five balls, it looks like this. At which stage most people go, what's the point? Well, the thing is, you don't have to release the ball. You can just hold it, and that's sort of what happens. So what's juggling one ball? If both your hands are full for half the time, then it has to spend half its time here and half its time there, and it doesn't get a holiday. So this is full speed, one ball juggling. Uniquely amongst the juggling tricks I'm going to do today, this one can be done in super slow-mo. Well, you laugh. I just said, all of you silently watching me stand there, not doing anything. Right? But what does it mean to juggle zero balls? And there's an interesting thing that happens here. So let me flash down to the table here. So when I'm juggling, so diagrams. So when I juggle three balls, the time of flight is two because I have to take off one from the cycle time. So the cycle time is three, but one of those beats of time is being held in the hand, so the time in the air is two. And similarly, when I'm juggling four balls, I get the cycle time, the time from throw to throw of a given ball is four, and the flight time is three. I can draw diagrams for all of this. I will have my laptop with me in the Q&A tent. If we make the prediction with four and five, then we end up with the ball has to change hands. They all change hands. And if you want to count them, you take a photo, which divides the past from the future. And the balls go through the photo, from the past into the future. It's like a cartoon character running through a wall and leaving their silhouette behind as they go. That's what a photo is in my mind. You may use that to calibrate your concept of my state of mental being. But if we look at that photo, you will see there are five balls passing through it. So there are five balls in this diagram, but I derived this diagram from the numbers that the ball spent four in the air and it have a cycle time of five. Okay, cool. So this is right. We can actually predict what's going to happen if you juggle 201 balls. Can talk about that. I've actually spoken with astronauts who have spent time in the space shuttle and indeed some Apollo astronauts. TK Mattingly, who ended up command module pilot in Apollo 16, he was asked what he was doing when his roommates were down on the moon. He said, I had things to do, but I spent a lot of my time scrunched up on one end of the command module, throwing things straight across it, because they went in a straight line. And it was just such a novelty for them. Love to do that. But anyway, if we juggle two balls, then the flight time is one, and you've seen that. It spends one in the air, one in the hand. One in the air. So that's what happens with two balls. So what happens with one ball? What are these numbers going to be? Zero and one. The ball spends no time in the air. So what happens with zero balls? Right. So the one in the bottom right-hand corner, that's clearly zero. The other one has to be negative one, which is really cool because that's time travel. Well, if you actually do this, the thing is, you can juggle a juggling pattern that's just four, right? So this is just four. Four, 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 four. But I don't have to throw them so they're all doing the same thing. Time running that way. I can throw this so that it's four beats in the air, three beats in the air and comes down here, it's thrown four beats later, but I don't have to. I can throw it as if I'm juggling five, leaving a gap, and throw the next one as if I'm juggling three to fill the gap. So in the middle of juggling four balls, I can suddenly and without provocation do a 5-3. So what's that going to look like? Well, let's have the orange one go over the top, the green one go underneath. So in the middle of juggling four balls, I'm going to do a 5 and a 3. See if you can spot both things happen. So let's go with the orange ball. So we get 3, 2, 1, 5, 3. Oh, blinded by the spots. It's a good excuse. Okay, so let's try that again. The orange ball high, the green ball low. 3, 2, 1, 5, 3. Tricky. Once more. This will be a long afternoon. 3, 2, 1, 5, 3. There we go. Slightly smaller. Yes. Thank you. Right, so the interesting thing about doing this talk sometimes is that people are on my side. They want to see it happen. And sometimes, even when I juggle it and fail, they will still clap. Which is absolutely amazing. It's wonderful. So anyway, throw the first one 5, but yeah, throw the second one 5 as well. So what do I do with the third one? Throw 2 to fill the gap. So that gives me 5-5-2. Now remember, a 2 looks like this. Now if you think in the middle of juggling four balls with two of them high up in the air and crossing over, I'm going to go, no, I'll show it to you. Right? It will be the white one, starting with the green ball. 3, 2, 1, 5, 5, and there's the 2. Good recovery. Right, let's try that again. Orange and yellow going high, so we get orange and yellow, and there's the two. Let's try it again. Yellow and green going high, yellow and green, and there's the two. And if you're worried that the white ball hasn't had a chance to play, I can send it around instead and hold up something else. So I can do a 5-5-2. Yes. What comes next? Your turn. What comes next? 5-5-5. You've just predicted the existence of a juggling trick. You've just said that in the middle of juggling four balls, it should be possible to throw one high and crossing, high and crossing, high and crossing, and then do a one. And remember, these are ones. So in the middle of juggling four balls, I should be able to go up, 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 what we call a zip across the bottom. Starting with the white ball, 3, 2, 1, 5-5-5-1. Now, the interesting thing about that, it's over very quickly. Let me try and do it for you constantly. This doesn't always work. Let's try it anyway. 5-5-5-1-5-5-5-1-5-5-5-1-5-5-5. Oh, no, don't patronize me. Here we go, let's try. 5-5-5-1-5-5-5-1-5-5-5-1 and drop back to four with a clean finish. There we go, that's nice. That is superb practice for learning five. Because three out of every four throws that you do are exactly the throw you need to be able to juggle five. But it's enormously easy because it's only four. I did this talk one time and I had an audience of non-jugglers going, it's only four. Yeah, but it is only four. Okay, so what comes next? 5-5-5-5, which is time travel. Which is really cool. Okay, so how do we do it? Well, the thing is, if my hands alternate and I only care about the throws, these are the throws. And if I do 5-5-5-5 and then a zero, whatever that is, and then do fours, the fives change hands. The fours stay in the same hand. The fours bounce in the hands. How often are my hands full? Half the time, so I need a juggling ball here. But it's a flight time is minus one, which means it goes backwards. And if we count the juggling balls, you've got four here, one, two, three, four. You've got four here, one, two, three, four. You've got four here. By the conservation law of juggling equipment, there should be four balls here. I've got the orange and blue, and I've got the green and pink, and I've got this other one here, and that's five. So what do you add to five to get an answer of four? Minus one. This works if that's an anti-ball. So I have here the mutual creation and annihilation of a ball-anti-ball pair. Now the problem with that, like there's only one problem, the problem with that is it requires mass. Now where do I get the mass from? What's the most famous equation in the entire world? E equals mc, it should be e to the I pi plus 1 equals 0, but it's not, it's e equals mc squared. And so that means this will work if I have the energy, but where do I get the energy from? Well, just as there's a quantum uncertainty principle between position and momentum, there's a quantum uncertainty principle between energy and time, and if I've got a very small uncertainty in the time, which I have because I know exactly when the throws and catches are happening, I've got a very large uncertainty in the energy, so I can borrow from the quantum uncertainty in energy to create a virtual ball-anti-ball pair, as long as they mutually annihilate each other within the uncertainty period. So long as I don't do it next to a black hole, one might fall in, other one pop out, Hawking radiation. But the thing is, I can actually use the quantum to create the virtual ball-anti-ball. Well, the truth is, my hand is empty. And a lot of people say, well, what's this nonsense about ball-anti-ball pairs? Well, the thing is, I get my audiences usually to give me a Pavlovian response of how often are my hands full? Half the time. How often are my hands full? Half the time. So how often are my hands full? Half the time. Well, unless you do this. And suddenly you have an exception. And actually the maths, the structure, the diagrams, and all the calculations are easier if you allow balls to travel backwards in time. And it actually then ends up working. Well, the thing is, I can do this pattern, and what it ends up being, basically, is starting with the orange ball, so we get orange, green, white, and yellow. 3, 2, 1, 5, 5, 5. Yes. And that click, That was the ball-anti-ball pair mutually annihilating, right? That's what the click is that's there. And the thing is that basically you can do that pattern continuously and it's just five balls with one of them colored invisible. And again, it's a really nice exercise for learning to do. So swapping around doing 5-3 from either hand, doing 5-5-2 from either hand, 5-5-5-1. By the way, as far as we know, 5-5-5-1 had never been juggled until we created this notation back in the mid-1980s. I took took 441, which is a gorgeous three-ball pattern, to the British juggling convention. And in return for people giving me some coaching for five-ball juggling, this seven-ball juggler, I showed them 441. So 441, throw a four, do a one underneath. Now you can do one shot of that in the middle of three balls. I'll do it with the orange ball from this hand, and you get 4-4 and a zip across the bottom. You can do it from the other hand. You can do 4-4 and a zip across the bottom, but you can do it constantly, 4-4-1, 4-4-1. And if you watch any one of the colours of balls, they all do the same thing, but intertwangle to make it work. And it looks like a box. And there is a classic pattern called the box. And everybody that I showed 4-4-1 to, it's just a box. No. And I had seven ball jugglers unable to do. When they finally got it and came back and said, oh, now try this one instead. And I'm going to get you to do that. I'm going to get you to create a juggling pattern. Because this is really cool stuff. This is really cool stuff. Now, I gave you this diagram here. So let me tell you how to interpret this. Imagine that the clusters of red numbers, each cluster is a place to stand. And each black arrow is a one-way path that you can walk along. And what you have to do is write down the black number as you go. Now, I'll tell you how the diagram is derived during Q&A if you're interested. Most people don't care. If you start at the very, very top left here with the cluster called 1, 2, 3, there is only one path you can follow. What number does it have?
Zero.
And now you're at the numbers with the box around them, 0, 1, 2. Now you can follow the arrow that's labelled 3 and it brings you back to where you are. And that's what it means to do 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. And at the juggling club we had a chap who came along 7:30, start juggling. 10:30, stop. We left him alone. He was practicing for the world duration record. By the way, at the time, the world duration record for three clubs was 8 hours and 40 minutes. And after you juggle for that long, your vision system literally edits out. So you're effectively juggling blindfold for that length of time. So anyway, we are now at the 1-2, at the 1-0-1-2. So you can follow either the arrow going that way labeled 4 or the arrow coming down labeled 4. Let's do this by show of hands. Are you ready? See where they go. Make up your mind. I'm going to go, not yet. I'm going to go, who wants the 4, who wants the 5? It's going to be that quick, I'll just gestalt the majority. All right, so here we go. You ready? Who wants the 4, who wants the 5? All the 5s win. Why am I not surprised? You're down here. By the way, when I do this with kids, I get them to scream out what they want. And in the resulting cacophony, pick the one I've pre-prepared. Okay, we're down at the bottom. You can do a 2, you can do a 3, you can do a 5. Let's see where they go. See where they go. Make up your mind. You can go into a box in a corner. You can go into the middle. You can go back upstairs. You can do 2, 3, or 5. It's entirely your choice. Are you ready? One shot. Who wants the 2? Who wants the 3? Who wants the 5? All the 2s win. You're up there. You can come back with the 2, down with the 4, across with the 5. 2, 4, or 5. See where they go. Make up your mind. You get one shot. You're ready. Who wants the 2? Who wants the 4? Who wants the 5? The 4s win. You're down. Oh, I love you guys. Let's close the loop so we get 5, 2, 4, 1. You can rabbit on and ramble around this diagram as much as you want. It will work. You don't have to trust me. There is a proof. But I'm going to do the one that you chose, 5, 2, 4, 1. So starting from here, I am going to do a 5, a 2, a 4, and a zip. I'll do it once, starting with the orange ball from this hand next time round, because we get 5, 2, 4, 1. But if I do this constantly, we end up with 5, 2, 4, 1, 5, 2, 4, 1, 5, 2, 4, 1, 5, 2, 4. And look at the yellow ball. It's always yellow. But it's staying in the same place because that's the ball that's being thrown 4 beats of time into the future and the pattern repeats every 4 beats. So we can study the orbits of juggling balls through patterns. It has strong analogies with orbits of functions from a topological space onto itself, which is basically the same as what happens when you study orbital mechanics and similar sorts of things. The maths in here is not actually very difficult, but it connects with so many other things. And I hope that's given you the insight that juggling is indeed surprisingly mathematical. And I hope on the way you've enjoyed it. Thank you very much.